Dr. Ross Walker joins me each and every Tuesday afternoon. He's on the line. Hello, Ross.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's good. A couple of listener questions, mate. Can we start with that today?
Sure.
Okay. One I've sent you and the other two we'll just throw at you, but as we have said before, you've been doing this a long time and you're very good at it.
Thank you.
Let me see. This is from Kelly. Kelly says she's just had a coronary calcium score done. The result was 2. Pretty darn good.
Yep.
She said she also had, is it mild valve calcification visible? Is it a concern? She is 72 years old.
No, what she should be is congratulated. A calcium score of only 2 and minor valve calcification means she's at the lower risk of normal. So in a person in their 70s, it's almost unheard of to have a 0 calcium score. And I consider the long-term risk of a calcium score of 2 to be the same as a 0 score, especially if you've made it to 70. The valve calcification, if I looked at everybody over the age of 70, I'd see a little bit of calcium build up on the valve. And let me be brutal to everyone over the age of 40 listening to this. We're not supposed to be here. Our body, as I've said to you on numerous occasions, our body was only designed to wander around a jungle for 30, 40 years with a spear. So when you hit 50 and the hormones go south, everything wears out and gets a little bit thickened and calcified. And that's what happens. And so in this case, the risk is extremely low, and I'd congratulate her for having such great results.
If you had a calcium score, let's say 4 or 5 years ago, the test, and it was, you know, a low under 10, 4 or 5 or 6,
yep,
or something like that, could you expect it to have changed much 5 or 6 years later if your life or your diet hasn't changed that much, or would you expect it to be the same or similar?
No, I expect it to be maybe mildly worse,
right,
but not much,
right,
if you haven't changed much in your life. But I'll tell you a story about a very strong personal friend of our family, who at age 53, female, had a 0 calcium score. Over the next 5 years, she developed breast cancer, had mitral valve surgery, her father died, her mother developed Alzheimer's disease, and they had a huge break into their house.
Right.
So 5 major stresses over a 5-year period. Her score went from 0 up to 250.
My goodness.
That's a big jump up. But people whose life stays pretty even, not a huge amount of stressors, et cetera, then you wouldn't expect much of a jump. You might go from 0 up to maybe 10, 15, 20, unless you've got some other significant genetic factor that's at risk. And so for a woman in her 70s who's got a calcium score so low, I would never have another one. Because if you've made it to 70 with a calcium score of 2, it's not going to get that much worse over the next 30 years. So I just leave it as it is.
Your friend that's gone from low to 250, can she get that score back down low again or not?
Well, interestingly, the next 5 years of her life, so she's now in her early 60s, the next 5 years of her life were pretty even, and we kept things going and controlled with medications and supplements, and the score hasn't changed at all. Which is great, which means, you see, where the calcium score just tells you what you've got in the wall of your arteries, like a donut. The hole is where the blood's going, but the fat's sitting in the wall. If you can keep that dormant and under control and keep the wall thinned down with lifestyle and statins and the Bergamet's product that I have the association with and all the other supplements I talk about, then you can keep it under control. It just sits there like a bit of a dormant fatty plaque doing nothing. But if you poke the bear with stress, then you can actually make it accelerate and certainly rupture and cause a blockage.
How close are we to having a drug that will clean our arteries for us and we won't have the problem of these clogged arteries?
Well,
are people doing research on that?
Yeah, of course. But we already have the drugs in place with things like statins and blood pressure management and all the supplements I talk about. There is a degree of reversal that goes with all of this stuff.
Right.
But also in the pipeline, there's so many things happening. So, for example, right at the moment, if you qualify, you can have a fortnightly injection that pulverizes your cholesterol and pulls the fat out of your arteries. There's a new drug coming called inclisiran, which is an injection every 6 months that does the same thing. And there's also talk about a vaccination against atherosclerosis, against the fat buildup in the artery. So all of this stuff is happening. And it's all in the pipeline or actually available right now if people want to put the effort in. And I've seen plenty of people who've been able to reverse the fat buildup in their arteries by the combination of very good lifestyle. So lifestyle is key. That's 80% of management, 10% of pharmaceutical therapy, and 10% are supplements.
You were saying about the injections, if you qualify, what are the qualifications needed?
Yeah, these things called monoclonal antibodies, so PCSK9 inhibitors are the names of them. So you can have the monoclonal antibody or the inclisiran, which are both PCSK9 inhibitors. They just work in slightly different ways. But for you to qualify for these treatments, you have to be on maximally dose statin, or maximal dose of statin, and your cholesterol still not getting to targeted levels,
right,
or you can't tolerate the statins on the background of having proven heart disease. So you can't just say, oh, my cholesterol's running a bit rich, so therefore I want to be on one of these drugs, and I don't like swallowing a pill, I prefer to have an injection. I don't know many people in that situation. But I'm saying you have to, there are rigid classifications that you need to qualify for to get the drug.
Okay, Julie says, or Julie asks, is it okay or is it important to take vitamin K and vitamin D together?
It depends what you're taking it for. Vitamin K2, not just vitamin K, because it's K1 and K2, basically. K1 is the stuff that's in leafy green vegetables, and that is more affecting the clotting pathways. K2 is in natto products out of Japan, but they make that into a supplement called MenaQ7 K2, and what that does is take the calcium out of your arteries and puts it back in your bones. So if you've got atherosclerosis, I put everyone on K2 for that. If someone has osteoporosis, I put people on K2 for that because it builds up their bones. And vitamin D has got so many benefits that we'll probably talk about a little bit later in this interview. But taking 2,000 units of D3 every day is a good thing. But there is a spray that combines D3 and vitamin K2. It's not good enough because the dose of K2 is only 45 micrograms. The proper dose to do all the things I said is 180 micrograms. So you've got to take a separate pill of K2 and separate vitamin D to get the right benefits from it.
Susan asks, is there a natural remedy for pains in the neck, shoulders, and the head?
Yeah, there's quite a few things that are beneficial. Firstly, I say to everybody, you should do some neck exercises, which involve a thing called neck retraction.
Mm.
So if you Google neck retraction and see the exercises you can do, that's actually quite beneficial. In fact, I think I sent that to you at
you
some
did.
Stage, what the neck retraction. So that's one thing. Local massage helps. What I have every week in my practice here, this guy's become a very good friend of mine, is a treatment called MedKey, which is a handheld electromagnetic device that gets into areas of pain. That helps as well. There's some natural curcumin products. The one I take, and I have no association with the company, is from a company called Dr. Red, so drred.com.au, and they make a thing called a Polypill GT, which has some natural anti-inflammatories in it. And there's a lot of good work now about a supplement called PEA, and so spelled P, but it's a PEA, and that's been shown to have some good work for relieving pain naturally.
Anne says she suffers from low-grade pain,
mm-hmm,
and she takes 2 Panadol most days of the week.
Yep.
Anne asks, is this dangerous?
I won't use the term dangerous, but it's not preferable to do it if you can get away with natural stuff. Because if you take the 2 Panadol, there may be some effect on the liver. It's typically more 4 Panadol once you get above that on a consistent basis damages the liver. And two a day is probably not going to do much at all in terms of hurt the liver. But that's really the concern with Panadol. And there's some other things. I mean, you've heard of Arbor Vitae, and again, I have no association with Arbor Vitae. There's some work that's a good natural way of relieving some inflammation as well. But just general aches and pains is probably more the curcumin products and the PEA.
Okay, let's talk about the article that you wrote, the paper you wrote, Diabesity. It's the you say it's the true pandemic of the 21st century. You say the combination of type 2 diabetes and obesity is the most concerning medical issue that we face currently.
Oh, it is. And you and I spoke last Friday about the fact that people are finding it difficult to get Ozempic or semaglutide,
yes,
which is the weekly injection, and the reason that people are finding it hard to get is because the manufacturers have not been able to keep up with the demand for the cartridges, the injector cartridges to give the injection. They've still got the stuff, but they just have to get into these cartridges. So that'll be coming back soon. But I find it a bit disturbing that people always want to go to a drug solution or a surgical solution to lose weight. Now, again, sometimes you need to do that because as we get older, our metabolism does slow down over the age of 60 especially. And these medications, such as semaglutide, have been shown to have a benefit. But the reality is I see a small but definite group of people who make drastic changes in their lifestyle will still reduce their belly fat, reduce their risk for diabesity just by cutting back calories, cutting back carbs, cutting back grog, and that's 80% of weight loss, 20% is regular exercise. So the system is much more geared to sin than it is penance. So if you go for a brisk half an hour walk, you burn 300 calories, a small piece of chocolate cake's 300 calories, one glass of wine's 150 calories.
Mm.
So you have to understand that lifestyle is still the most important thing anyone can do. And as I mentioned in that article, a big study out of Southern California on South Asians, so people from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, who were living in America at the time, showed that those who could achieve the lifestyle changes had a four times greater benefit for the management of their diabetes than people who were swallowing pills.
On Sunday, I know it was Mother's Day, but on Sunday, I did a bit over a 10K walk, and I walked from my house to a local winery that has a restaurant and a chocolate shop. And I said to my wife, I'll do the 10 plus Ks, and then we'll have a hot chocolate, and you can drive me home. So I did that. I got to the chocolate shop and we had a couple of hot chocolates and we had a chocolate tart with those hot chocolates, and they gave us a couple of little chocolates with the hot chocolate, and I'm sick.